I am glad that I can bring part two of our series called Greener Grass today. I think it's a timely message and a pretty relevant one. And so we're going to spend time this morning actually in 1 Samuel chapter 7. I was in chapter 8 last Sunday, and so we're going to go backwards. We're going to go to chapter 7 today. And as I do that, let me just tell you, the kids that are here, you guys are dismissed for Hope Kids this morning at this time. So you guys are released to go if you'd like to go. Your teachers are there waiting on you. They're ready to have some fun. It's going to be good. And so for the rest of us that are here at home and on site, you're ready. It's so good to celebrate God together. And so let's celebrate God in His Word. So 1 Samuel chapter 7 is where I want to take us today. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I do want to use this particular part of the story of Samuel and the Israelites as kind of just a foundation for a way of thinking about how to be content when it can be appealing to look for the greener grass, right? You know the old saying, right? So look at the grass, not always greener on the other side. And so that's what we're kind of playing with here last week, this week, and next week. That'll be our final part in this series, okay? So with that, one thing I'll just say to us, I think it is important that to be content where we are, there is this personal decision that you and I have to make that really says, I see what's on the other side, but I'm going to choose to stop looking at the greener grass on the other side and longing and envying or sort of maybe lusting after, just pining, got to have what's on the other side of that fence. I see it. I recognize it. I understand it. But I'm going to choose personally to not go seek after what the world just says you got to have in order to have happiness in the world. I'm going to look at the cross. I'm going to look at Christ and say, Lord, help me to be content in you where I am today. And that part of that is, that is part of the way to being content where we are. So there's a, right? So the part of it says, you just have to, as the saying goes, pony up and say, you know what? I'm going to be responsible for my choice because I have the power to do that. In the power of Jesus Christ, I'm choosing not to long after the greener grass. Okay, so with that being said, let me take us then to 1 Samuel chapter 7. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7 is, again, it's right before Israel tells Samuel, we want a king, right? Because they want to be like the other nations, safe and secure and strong. And before that ever happens, the Philistines, which was an ongoing enemy for the Israelites, they just kept coming to them and coming to them, and they would be victorious. And then, you know, in the story of it, Israel would have a victory, and then the Philistines would come back, and it was just ongoing again and again and again. Well, in this particular story here, the ark had been outside of Israel's territory. The Philistines had it, and they get tired of dealing with a bunch of, issues because they've got the ark, right, which that symbolic in the real presence of God, they're with the ark, and so they will give back to the Israelites because we're tired of this craziness. This is causing us nothing but heartache and headache. I like that. When you're not where God wants you to be, it causes nothing but heartaches and headaches. I could preach that, couldn't I, right there? But I'm not. I'm going to just preach something else. That's another day. Don't let me forget that. So the ark comes back. They've got it. Now it's there for about 20 years in their possession for the Israelites. And look at 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. If you have your Bible with you and you want to look at that, or just listen as I read this today. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods of the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Stop right there. You know those sermons that preachers get up and preach sometimes, and it just kind of gets straight to the point at each point? And sometimes we listen to it and go, oh, stepping on my toes. It kind of makes us wiggle in our seats sometimes. You ever had those kind of sermons? Yeah, I have. Well, maybe that'll be one of those today. I think one of the, if you're using their story from Israel with Samuel and where they're at, that one of the steps to being content with where you are and having peace is turning to God. Now, in the common vernacular, get right with God. Like, if you want peace, the very first step is not the world, it's God. Get right with God, okay? Turning to Him. Samuel was, you know, he's talking to the Israelites, and he's going, all right, look, if you're going to do this, do it right, okay? If you really want to be about what you say you want, then do it right. Quit playing around with these different gods that are not real, and just worship Yahweh. Worship the one true God and quit messing around. You're playing with fire, cut it out. Repent, turn to God, be faithful to God. He made a covenant with you. He wants you to be faithful to Him. He is faithful to you. So do it. Just do what you know is the right thing to do and quit messing around. Can you imagine being in their seat? That's a good thing about a prophet, because a prophet gets called to speak these hard words of truth and just be blunt and bold and just say it, right? Turn back to God and quit acting like a foolish person. Be wise. Whew. Don't worry, it just keeps going. It's more the same kind of thing this morning, so stick with us. Don't leave. All right. So I have a way of thinking about this. Really super simple. Can you put this on the screen? So if you're thinking about a way to just in your days, thinking about, am I just getting right with God this day? Am I just living right with God? Is a sense of thinking ego, right? So you think, ego, what? Are you edging God out, or are you exalting God only? Are you edging God out, or are you exalting God only, right? Now, honestly, some of us might just say, well, you know, just to be totally honest, like there's like parts of my day where I feel like, hey, I'm exalting God only. And then there's some parts of my day where I feel like, you know, I'm probably kind of edging God out in this part of my life in this moment, if I'm just being completely honest with myself in this moment, okay? I'll just leave that with there for the moment. To think about ourselves in this question, I think it's critically important that we think about the role of the Holy Spirit. I love, we talk about God, talk about Jesus, when you talk about who? Talk about the Holy Spirit as well. All three are God, and all three have a role. And so we're going to preach about them. We're going to talk about them. So that's what we'll do. So I think the greatest counselor, the greatest ego counselor is the Holy Spirit. In John 16:8, Jesus said that God was sending the Holy, God was sending an advocate, a counselor, and he says, you know what, that counselor is going to convict the world in sin and in righteousness. So it's going to let the world know, hey, if you're not living right with God, the Holy Spirit's going to let you know that. So when we think about, it's the church's job to tell the world that they are all messed up and wrong, and you know the old phrase, going to hell in a handbasket? That's not the church's job to convict the world, but you need to understand that you are in the wrong. Jesus says it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict the world of sin, but to also affirm the church in righteousness, to draw people to salvation. We call that prevenient grace, that God would preveniently be drawing people, inviting them to come and draw close to Jesus. Those who are far, draw near. Those who are walking in barren lands, come to the oasis of the grace, of forgiving grace found only through Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, help me today keep my ego in check. Help me keep my, am I exalting God only or edging God out moments of my day, right? Like, help me keep that in check, because you know me better than I know myself, and you see me better than I see myself. So it makes sense. The Holy Spirit, I just ask you, you help me. Please help me. Help me to stay dialed in, turn to you, right with you, day in and day out. And talk about the church. One of the great ways that as the church, we get to express that, hey, I have chosen to turn to God. I want to live this life of being right with God. You know, one of the great ways of that is baptism. If you have never been baptized before, it's like, you know, I've made a decision for Jesus, but I've never been baptized. I want to encourage you, get baptized. That physical expression of going down the waters of baptism, and I've died with Christ and being risen with him, right? I've been reborn in Jesus. Like, make that expression of faith, saying, I want to be associated with Jesus. I want to live a life where I'm exalting God only and not edging God out. Like, I want that to be, and I need the Holy Spirit's help, and I'm accepting that help right now here in my life. God, help me be in it to win it every single day at every moment, to be committed all the way. Help me not to ride the fence at any moment in my day. Whew. That's a big ask, isn't it? That's a big ask. But I figure if you're going to pray, go big or go home, right? Because that's what God asks of us, that we would live faithful to him day in and day out. And that's not something we can do in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit, so we need to listen. We need his empowerment. We need his guidance. We need his encouragement. And when we're weak in the flesh, we need him to strengthen our resolve. And we don't feel like praying, we need him to encourage and help us and give us the words to pray, that we may pray in accordance with the will of God and not the will of our flesh or our humanly desires. You know that old saying, how many of you remember seeing the bumper sticker? See if you remember this bumper sticker. It said, no God, no peace, no God, no peace. You remember seeing that? So K-N-O-W, like if you know God, then you'll know peace. But no God, N-O, no God, no peace. Right? So to know God is to know his peace. If you want peace, I think the first step is you turn to God. It's getting right with God. Samuel told the Israelites, you want peace, you want to be content where you are. I'm going to tell you, the first thing you do is you need to get right with God and quit messing around with this worldly stuff. Stop trying to be like everybody else in the world. That's not what I called you to be. I didn't call you to act like them. I called you to act like a people that I've set you apart to be so that the world will know me through you. Whew. I know it's a total, huge, big ask. But by God's grace, we can do that. And it leads to contentment and peace. How cool is that, right? Totally cool. All right, you ready for the second one? Here we come. All right, so let's go back into 1 Samuel. So in chapter 7, run down to verse 5. Then Samuel said, he says, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. Stop. I'm going to intercede for you. In other words, he's basically saying, I'm going to pray for you, right? So you get all these people together, and I'm going to pray for you. Prayer is part of the pathway to contentment, to peace. Israel knows that the Philistines are still chomping at the bit to come and get them, okay? And they ask Samuel, they say, you're going to have to pray for us because this Philistine army, I'm telling you, they are bigger than we are. They are stronger than we are. They have more military strength than we do. They probably have more money, whatever. They've got, you know, more. It's just, this is not looking good. There's not much in our favor right now. So please, pray. That simple thing for me, I think is so powerful. You and I'm a firm believer that we need to be asking people to pray for us, to be interceding for us. Online, worshiping with us, have you seen that there's power in prayer? If there is, do me a favor, would you just type in there, like all caps or something, like Y-E-S, exclamation mark, and put some kind of fun emoji in there. That's appropriate, right? Okay. Even if you're here, right? If you're here and you want to put that, if you're on the Facebook feed today, you want to dial into that. But make sure your volume is all the way down. Otherwise, that gets to be a little weird, right? Because there's a delay. Okay, all right, I'll stop cracking jokes. It's not my day today, apparently. Who are you asking to pray for you? Because you believe in the power of God to work through prayer. You say, well, I put it on a prayer chain, the whole church praying for me. I get that. But that's not what I'm talking about. Who are you going to, calling up, texting, whatever, messaging, something, FaceTiming, whatever, saying, hey, I need you to pray for me? Because I know there are times when you want somebody to pray for you right then, but you're afraid to ask. Sometimes because we don't want to seem weak. Sometimes because you're just too polite, folks. I don't want to inconvenience them. Stop being so polite. You have my permission. I need you to pray for me. I'm struggling right now. I'm hurting right now. I feel just kind of lost. I don't understand. Da 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 da. I want to be like Israel and say, Samuel, will you pray for me right now? Now let me flip that. You and I need to be a Samuel. We need to be interceding for others as well. And so when somebody comes to us and says, hey, will you pray for me? I can't help it. I'm going to have to use this. A friend of mine I was talking to this morning, and he and I were together, and he said, hey, will you pray for me? And I was like, what's up? And he's telling me, I was like, well, yeah. He's like, all right. And he's getting ready to walk out. And I said, hey, hold on. Can we just pray right now? Yeah. And I'm getting up. So, the good pastoral me, right? Let's get ready to pray. And he already started. And I'm like, whoo! All right, it's that kind of prayer session. We're both going to pray today. Good deal. And we did. I'm not bragging on me. A moment is a moment. And you don't get moments back. And you don't know what lies on the other side of moments. And God is not constrained by time, nor space, nor our understanding of either one, or lack thereof, right? So when there's a moment to pray for somebody in need, to stop and just to pray. Sometimes you need to stop and be a Samuel to an Israel that's asking you to pray. And you know what happens out of that prayer? Israel gets a victory. I'm so glad we sang that song today. Woo! Israel gets a victory. But here's what I love about Samuel's prayer for them. We don't really get Samuel's prayer in the text. Like, I didn't read it, and it's really not even there. But we know he prays. And in the essence of something he does in making a burnt offering, which was for the sin of the people, right? And they're worshiping multiple gods, right? And wanting to come back and draw near to God. That tells me something, that Samuel, when he's interceding for Israel, he's not just praying that they're going to get the win, right? That they're going to whip some Philistine. Like, he's praying that God will honor his promise to them. You can't miss this. You got to catch this. That God will honor his promise to them, that if they will honor him, he will honor them. So in the burnt offering, that their sins were, right, that be forgiven, right, that in coming back to him, honoring that covenant arrangement agreement, that if they'll do that, which is what he's doing for them as a prophet, priest kind of figure, that God's going to turn around and bless them so that God is glorified in a way that only points to him. Because here's the deal. In the story, it says that the Lord thundered. Oh my word, what would that sound like, right? The Lord thunders. I can't even like go that low like to try it. I can't even do it. And the Philistines panic. I mean, how bad is the thunder that these warriors start panicking and they turn tails and they start leaving, and the Israelites see it and they come out and they chase them out and they just chase them, right, keep going, and they beat them, they get the victory, And the only explanation that we're meant to understand that text is that God brought the victory because he honored his promise that he will honor those who honor him. And prayer was part of that victory. I love it. You can't tell me there's not power in prayer. So a prayer moment is a power moment. Oh, that's a whole nother sermon right there. Man, I'm going to have to like copyright these things or something. Like, could they just come out of my mouth? I don't even plan these things. Anyways. So let me ask you, who are you praying for? As a Sammy, who are you praying for? Not just praying that their life will be easier. I mean, that's a cool, that's a great prayer. It's a merciful prayer. But what about that they would be renewed? That in whatever they're going through, that God will be glorified in a way through this season that only he can be the reason for what's happening. For renewal, for obstacles to be removed, for healing to take place. I like listening to my wife share a story. It's a testimony. And she shared it many a times. And she's actually even shared it here with some other folks in settings. But there was a time when she and I were we hadn't been married too long. And we started going to a church together. And when we did that, she was a bit more serious about the life of living out, you know, just sort of being a truly devoted Christ follower and part of the body of Christ Church than I was. And I'm trying to be gentle. She would tell you that she had talked to the pastor at the church we started going to and said, hey, let's pray for Andy. Nothing like knowing your wife is praying for you, right? And so let's pray for Andy. And so he and his wife and her, they start praying for me. And they're praying for me and praying for me. And I'm not like homeless living under a bridge somewhere, you know, kind of like life is all. No, no, no. She was wanting me to draw closer to Christ and to catch a passion for the body of Christ. And she knew what that would bring into our home and our marriage. And it was, and so they're praying. And then we're sitting at a Holy Thursday. Right, so the Thursday before Easter, we're sitting at a Monday Thursday service, and I was in the Church of God congregation, and so we practiced foot washing, where we would wash each other's feet. The guys would wash guys, and women would wash the women's feet, and it's not near as bad as you kind of like as you think. It's pretty awesome, powerful worship experience. And so I've gotten my feet washed, and we're kind of done. We're sitting in a circle, and you ever have those moments where it just comes over you and you just say, you can't even like stop from saying something. It just, bleh, and then you just can't take it back. Like I had one of those moments. And I said, I want to just kind of recommit my life to getting serious with Jesus and accept God's call to pastoral ministry. And I had never talked about that with Leslie before that moment. I don't know if I can say I'm sorry. No. Wow, talk about a moment, right? Yeah. The power of prayer to change a life. And I stand here today because of the power of prayer to talk about the power of God that honors prayer and changes lives and changes the trajectories of futures. And I have more peace in my life doing what I'm doing today than I had in the jobs that I did before this, because I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. And I believe it's because of the power of prayer. I give God the glory for that. All right, so number three. This is kind of the fun one. Here we go. All right, number three is remember. And when I talk about remember, let me take you to verse 12 in chapter 7. And here's where this is coming from. So the Israel, right, so they win this battle. Okay, they chase them out. And they get them. And then in verse 12 says, then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, what a great name, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. So Samuel erects this stone, and on this stone, more than likely, he writes the word in Hebrew, like would read Ebenezer, and that word name means exactly what it said, the Lord has helped us thus far. And so it's this kind of idea that, you know, hey, to this point, right, the Lord had helped us to this very point and kind of to this point in our journey. It's kind of, I think, a both right there when you try to interpret that word and its meaning. So let me ask you, and for those of you that are worshiping with us, let me give you this opportunity. Do this with me. So in the thread there, in the comments, I want you to answer a question for me. They get to go first this time. So answer the question, what either item that you see in the church or something that you've practiced during worship service that reminds you of what God has done thus far? So take a moment and see what you can think of, and just quickly just type that in there, okay? So we'll get that, and then I left my phone sitting right there, so I'm really prepared. Somebody here up here front who's got the feed going, let me know. Just holler it out what they answer, what you're answering, right? Because I want to know what you're putting in there. You're part of us, and I want you to participate. So okay, so for you here, yeah, you're going to get to answer this too, and so I want you to think. What is something that you've either seen in a church building or something that you've participated in a worship service that reminds you of sort of how God has helped us thus far, right? That kind of thing. What do you think? And if you're here and you want to type that in the comments here this morning on site, do that too. That's cool. Totally good. So has anybody online typed anything in? The cross. That's one of them. Fantastic. I love it. I love it. One more. Can you think of something that that we experience, something that we do as part of a worship, that worship itself, yes. Think about, oh, ding, 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 ding. We got a winner. You get the stuffed animal, but I don't have one, so sorry. Absolutely. Isn't that great? Like, so the cross and communion. Like, let me just pick with those. And so just kind of for the sake of time today. So the cross, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, came to earth, went to the cross, that by dying on the cross for us, that he paid the price. So we didn't have to pay the price, which is death for being sinful, that we could have our sins forgiven. And when we celebrate communion, we remember that body given for us and his blood poured out. And through the pouring out of blood, Scripture says that cleansing takes place. So we're remembering what he's done that has helped us so that our sins could be forgiven, we could be cleansed, made right with God, and have a relationship with God. Be right with God, right? That's what we talk about. I think the first step to peace is getting right with God. So yeah, all right, so wonderful. Well done. Well done. Good job. I love it. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You will not have this, but I have one. I'll tell you mine in a second. But here's what I ask you to do. I want you to, at some point, find maybe like a rock that you can, big enough you can write on. Or maybe it could be like a little miniature cross or something, whatever kind of works for you, something that you could have around you. And I'd like for you to take that rock, and I want you to write a name of a person who has been an encouragement to your faith in a very special way. Maybe it's like a Samuel to you, okay? Or an event in your life where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has helped you in a miraculous, powerful way, that every time you think about it or you think about that person, you cannot help but think of what God did very special in your life. I have my rock right here. My rock has the name John on it. And John was the pastor at the church where Leslie said, "Hey, Pastor John, can we pray for Andy?" John came alongside me, and John walked with me where I was, and John helped me to discover a renewed love for Jesus, and he helped me to know that my calling to ministry was still on my life, and that I could still speak his word, be a shepherd in the church, right? Be a pastor. And he helped me to get licensed and ordained and just take that step. So when I see this rock and I see his name on this rock, I'm reminded of how much peace can be in your life when you decide it's time to get right with God. Prayer is happening, and you never forget where you come from, where God's brought you from, regardless of where you're at and where you think your life's heading. There's a lot of power in a reminder in there. Who or what is on your rock? That's my challenge to you. Who's on your rock? Who's that person? What is that event? Take the time. It's well worth it. Identify that and give God thanks and remember. I can tell you I am where I am because God helped me. But he's not done. That's a good thing because I need a lot of help. And if I'm going to keep pastoring here and leading you guys and leading my family, whoo-wee, y'all need me to get some help. And I didn't say that right, did I? I should have said that differently, come to think of it. Whoops. I told you, sometimes it just comes out and I can't take it back. But I guess it's just the truth. I know I need help. God, by your grace, will you help me and help us all? Maybe that just needs to be my prayer for us today. Would you stand for the moment? Let's stand for prayer. And then Lisa's going to come up and share our announcements that connect us back to the word today. But we need to let that blood flow to our legs. Father, I thank you today that while we can laugh a little bit, we can also know as we go to your word that you are God who is a God of peace. And we can have contentment in you and with you and through you because of you. So today, keep that in our hearts and in our heads and help us to identify if we haven't already or to be encouraged by that person or that event who has reminded us that we needed to turn back to you and was praying for us, that will remind us that you're not done yet and you're still working on us. You have been and you will be. Lord, inspire our faith today with this prayer request as you answered in our individual lives and for our church. Amen.